Seeing without seeing. If you read the sermon title in the bulletin, you'll know that's different. Not long after the bulletin printed, I thought, this fits better than what I had said earlier, but then it was too late. Bulletin was already out. So, seeing without seeing is our title today. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9 is our text. Christ is risen. He is. This is the second Sunday of the Easter season. And during Easter, we focus in particular on the effects and the things that we receive from Jesus rising again from the dead. During this Easter season, we're going to be looking at texts from 1 Peter. We will be following the epistle text. That's the epistle text for each week. And then reading the gospel text also earlier in the service, as we did today. As we consider our text today, from the beginning of this letter that Peter wrote, we think about who it is who is writing this letter and who he is writing to. Peter was one of the 12 that Jesus chose to follow along with him as he taught and as he worked miracles. And he taught them even more than he taught the others. He was chosen also along with two others, James and John, to be the nearest to him many times to see things that even the others of the 12 did not. He was bold as he followed Jesus and learned from him. Sometimes he learned understanding clearly what Jesus was teaching, what he was learning. And then at other times, along with Jesus' other followers, not really understanding at all what Jesus was trying to teach them. But this letter comes 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, as Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, was shown by God the reality of what Jesus did. He was one of the first leaders in the church, a strong pillar, guiding others in faith. We don't know the details for certain surrounding the writing of this letter, but likely he was in Rome when he wrote this, probably not having been there too long, within a year maybe, but only months away from being killed for his faith. He was probably not in prison at this time, but we know looking back at history that the end of his life was very near from martyrdom, being killed for his faith. The people he was writing to were in a wide area in what is now known as Western Turkey. Some churches there had been established by the Apostle Paul, so not Peter, but Paul did that. Others were started by those whose names we don't know, but from maybe Peter's teaching, but especially Paul's teaching, went to those areas and started new churches there. Some of the people in those areas were Jews, who knew the Old Testament and received Jesus as their Messiah. Others were Gentiles who heard this good news for the first time and believed and trusted in Jesus. Many of the people were originally from those areas where they lived. But Peter writes to them as exiles, as people scattered, as strangers in those countries. They don't fit in with the people that they once fit in with. The big reason why that's the case is the faith that they have in God and the resurrection of Jesus. As we read our text today, we consider what it is that makes them different from those around them and what it is that holds the highest value for them compared to those that are around them. So our text is from 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. 1 Peter 1. 3 to 9, reading in Jesus' name. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word of encouragement written by Peter, who followed Jesus and learned from him and sent this letter to be an encouragement to people trusting in you. Encourage them in their faith. And as we think about what he wrote to them, may it be an encouragement to us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite the kids that would like to come forward. Okay, guys, I've got... What is this I have on here?
Candy.
Candy, yeah. I'll give you this in a minute here, but are you going to be able to eat this candy?
No.
No, you can't eat this candy. Do you think that there might be some candy in this room that might be for you, that you might get later? Yeah, there might be. No, you don't think so?
Yeah,
there is. Are you pretty sure about that?
Yeah,
because actually you might have a couple sources of candy, possibly. And those are pretty regular sources, right? Are you confident? Actually, some of you actually, I kind of had an effect on getting candy earlier. I asked for it not to be given earlier, just for this reason. So if you're mad at me for that reason, don't worry, you'll get it later. But why are you so sure that you'll get candy later?
I can't
trust him to give us candy.
You trust him to give you candy, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's from experience. And maybe you already tried to see about getting candy. You're confident, even though I'm just going to give you a paper. It doesn't actually have candy on it. But you're confident. Yeah, it's just a drawing. You could color it. It doesn't change the flavor. It'll still taste like paper, right? And it's not going to be very good. But the candy that you get later will taste pretty good, right? You'll enjoy it. So there are things that God promises to us that we know that they are ours, that we have them, even though we can't enjoy them quite yet, fully. And so that's what we're talking about today. So if you guys are thinking about the candy, you know, think about the other things that God, Ezra's got a few there for you guys. Hey, well, see, that's how much it's worth, just drop it on the ground. Right? It's not as good as the real thing, right? You can share those with others. All right. You guys can go back and be looking forward to what you'll receive later on. Yeah. Well, I prepared that. You know, I did verify before the service that there's at least a little bit of candy in the room here for them. But I did prepare, you know, that illustration before I knew. But I was trusting that there would be some. You making your way back? All right. Well, our text today talks about some of the realities that are ours, even though we can't see them yet. That's what we hear about in our text today. Things that are true, even though we can't see them. These realities appear to be so strong in Peter's mind that he can't even get to describing what they are before he breaks out in praise to God. That's the way he starts out, just praising God. He gives us, he lists and describes these realities to us as part of this praise, praising God. He's praising God as he tells us what is true for us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. These realities that Peter talks about are realities that are grounded in the truth of who God is. They are grounded in the truth of who Jesus is. One way to look at this is to see that in his human nature, God the Father is God to Jesus. In his divine nature, he is his Father. as Jesus is also God. Now, maybe that's too sharp a distinction to make there, but I've read in a few places that way of looking at it, and that makes sense in a way. But whatever the case is, He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that foundational reality of who God is, who Jesus is, that strengthens our faith in what He does. The realities that we have are grounded in that relationship. The blessings of who God is overflow to us. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. He has given us new birth into a living hope. We have words of life here. We live in a world with death all around us. Every day, we could be reminded of it in some way. Maybe we aren't every day, but we could be. There are always options out there to be reminded about the death that's around us. But in this world, God has given us a new birth with new life and a living hope. A living hope, because this is God who is alive behind it. Our hope rests on the life that is in God. And He gives it to us in His great mercy through no merit of our own. He just gives it to us. We don't earn it. And that's such an encouragement, isn't it? And how does this life come to us, as Peter talks about it? How does this new birth come to us? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is what we celebrated last Sunday in a special way, though it is really our celebration every Sunday. It's Jesus' resurrection. Death seemed to have gotten the victory. The Son of God was dead. Those who put Jesus to death certainly thought so. Jesus' followers certainly thought so. Anybody who had a thought in their heads about what Jesus may have been going to do would have thought so, that death won. It seemed like death had won, but that was not true. Life had the victory. Jesus rose again. We have new birth through that resurrection. Even now, there is new life within us. And along with that living hope, that new life, there is an inheritance that is so wonderful that it is hard for us to imagine the reality of what it is. So Peter describes it to us by what it is not. It is an inheritance that does not perish, that does not spoil, that does not fade. I think about some of the things that have been valuable to me in life, or thinking back to some of the things that were valuable to me as a kid. One of the things, as we moved around from place to place, one of the things that was more constant in my life was the stuffed animals that I had. I kind of liked them. So many times, imagining stories with the stuffed animals along with my younger siblings, good memories. I still have those stuffed animals, loved and cherished, and actually really kind of gross, some of them. I still have most of them. If I pull them out of the tote that they're stored in, there's kind of this musty smell. It's not great. I still like them because, I grew up having them. But, I remember the fun that I had imagining stories about them with my brother and sister. But they're faded. They are. And, in the end, they have no real value. I'm sure you can think of other things in your life that have been important, but you know that they don't hold their value over time, and especially not with eternity in mind. The inheritance we have from God through Jesus' resurrection is not like anything that we know on earth. It will never perish, never spoil, never fade. The shine will be there throughout all eternity. Peter says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God is keeping this inheritance safe for us, for anyone who is trusting Him for it. And He keeps it. He keeps us safe and preserved by His power. And as we trust in the truth of God's Word, that faith and that trust keeps us strong in His promises. This salvation, Peter says, is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, in one sense, we are in that last time now, and really we have been since Jesus went back to heaven. You know, He could come back at any time. And so we live in the reality of the salvation from God even now. It's a reality. But as we look ahead to when this time that we're in ends and Jesus comes again, that salvation will be fully revealed and it will be good. It will be good. And Peter says, in all this, you greatly rejoice. We hear the story of Jesus' resurrection and we rejoice in it. You know, Andy Larson, pastoring over at our sister church in Ebenezer over in Minneapolis, he told me this last week about a sign that he saw in another church that said something like, "The renewal of spring reminds us that change is good." Now, you know, maybe there's some good in that statement. That was apparently their Easter message, a message of renewal and change. And Andy shared his reaction to that with me. He said, "Well, that's good, but is that it? Is that it? Is that all that we get out of this time of year? Just some change? Just a little renewal? You know, the renewal of spring? You know, it's meaningful, but is that all we get out of it?" He said, "No, we get so much more. We get more than just renewal as we celebrate Easter. We get resurrection. Resurrection. So much better than just renewal. Although renewal is also true, right? We get new life. We get victory over death. That's something to really rejoice about." So Peter says that. "In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials." Does the truth of the resurrection clear away all the problems in life? No, it doesn't. And Peter recognizes that. He went through plenty of trials himself. Very likely, as Peter was in Rome, Paul had also been there earlier. He had been there in prison for several years. I'm sure aside from his own trials, Peter was aware of what Paul had been through. Several years of imprisonment. Now, probably taking the gospel to Spain at this time. Imprisoned again later, we know. So Peter knew very well from his own experience and that of the others what trials could be. But we can withstand these trials. Or rather, God can keep us through these trials. Peter says they have a purpose. "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." And here he gets to the value of the faith that we have, the value of what we have faith in. What it is we are trusting and the value of what God has promised us. He talks about gold getting refined. My kids were telling me recently, and I didn't double check with them the numbers, but they had been reading about that how it takes multiple tons of gold to get just an ounce of pure gold. Refined in heat and fire to get out that pure gold. And when it is refined and pure, it is highly valuable. But even that most, or one of the most, valuable of elements will perish in the end. In contrast, the object of our faith does not. And as God strengthens our faith and it perseveres, it is recognized as being valuable, of so much more value even than gold. And here's what it results in for us. This is given to us. Praise and glory and honor. For us. Now, wait a second, you might say. I thought those things were reserved for God, praise and glory and honor. And, well, the reality is ultimately they are, but he shares them with us. And the way that Peter says that says this gives us the idea that, that God, in a sense, is praising those who continue to trust in him and commending us for trusting in him. Good job. You trusted me. we might hear him say, "You trusted me. Good job." That's what you should do. I'm trustworthy, right? We also share in his glory and honor, as we will one day enter eternity with him. That's what we have to look forward to, sharing with him in what is his. That is our inheritance. Is that worth living through some trials here on earth? Maybe even those that seem really big as we could go through them. Even those that may be because of our faith, trusting in him. Is it worth it? They may end up truly being small from the perspective of eternity, but that doesn't mean that they're small as we go through them, right? Is our inheritance worth going through trials? I think so. And here's how Peter describes those who are trusting God in this way. Without having seen Jesus, without having seen God, his followers in what is now Western Turkey have loved him and know him. Likewise, we have loved him, even though we have not seen him. If we think about our gospel reading that was read earlier today, Thomas, you know, reasonably so, was uncertain that the story of Jesus' resurrection could be true. He wanted to see it. When he had seen Jesus, he believed and he worshipped him. And I think his story is told to us not to highlight something negative about Thomas. Any of us could have had the same doubt and struggle to believe that Thomas did. It comes to us as an encouragement that those who knew Jesus personally, though they were scared and uncertain and didn't know what to believe, they saw him and they believed. And through believing, they had joy, inexpressible joy. And though we have not seen Jesus ourselves, we have seen him through the testimony of those who did. It's right here. We see him through his word, and we believe. And it gives us an inexpressible joy. Why? Because we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Not meaning, of course, our souls only and not our bodies. Our bodies will be resurrected if we're trusting in Christ. But what we note here is that it's not just the saving of our bodies for this life. That's not what God intended for us, just that. Not long after writing these words, Peter would be dead. He didn't know at the time when that would come, but I don't think he was surprised that it came. But he was filled with inexpressible joy. I mentioned as we approached this text before we read it that Peter addressed these people as strangers and exiles. People who didn't fit in the world around them, even though they may have lived there even their whole lives. That's what we are too. Those who don't have the hope that we have often might see the value that we place on something unseen and think, "You're crazy. That's crazy. It's just a myth." They search for something tangible and valuable in this world. They search for something that will last, but everything that they find, apart from this message that we have, is all things that won't last. They think that those of us who find value in the resurrection and something intangible are poor and to be pitied. But Peter tells us here that we are the ones with the real treasure. And whatever we have or don't have in this life, whatever we may be called to give up in this life, that maybe looks a little bit crazy to the people around us, it's worth it. Because we have something that will never perish or fade. Though we can't see it, we have eternal life, the salvation of our souls, and the resurrection of our bodies to look forward to. And God is keeping that inheritance preserved for us. Christ is risen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessing of the resurrection. Thank you for the promises given to us through Jesus' resurrection. May we put hope in that and know that as you brought his body back to life and he went back to heaven, that you have promised through that to bring life to us as well, even though we will die someday if Jesus has not come back by then. But you will bring our bodies back to life and give us a heavenly body. Thank you for that promise, and I ask that you would help us to trust in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.